Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from six figures to seven figures and even to eight figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call and we'll see how we can help you out. Hello guys, Alex Feratov here. Today we have the man who has introduced me to NFTs since then, you know, led to many interesting things. So my man Martin. Martin has the topic for this conversation is actually how he and his partner went on a witch hunt and have actually gotten themselves $400,000 NFTs for free, which is cool, man. 400,000. I mean, that's a good chunk of change, man.
Man, like it sounds crazy just saying it, doesn't it?
We met at the ClickFunnels event, and yeah, Martin got me like fully like fascinated with this space. He was like the person who could, in simple words, like explain what NFTs are. And yeah, since then, you know, it's been like wild ride, man. So thank you for getting me into it.
Of course. Well, thank you for showing interest because there wasn't many people to talk to, you know, a few months back. So now it's everybody's into it, but it's good to meet, you know, like-minded people who are interested in this crazy world.
For sure, my man. So it's obviously, yeah, the space is absolutely crazy right now. There's like so many projects, you know, for people who understand, like there's like so many different projects that are appearing like pretty much every single day. So I think the first question for you, man, like is, how do you look at projects overall, right? Like, how do you choose, like, out of, like, let's say 10, 20, 50, 100 projects, how do you choose the projects that you really kind of, like, want to dedicate some time and effort? Because at the end of the day, right, that project that you got yourself, so Martin got himself and his partner got it into, what is that, Neo Tokyo, right?
Yeah, the Alex Becker project, Neo Tokyo. Yeah.
Tell the story, man. I mean, I'm talking.
Sure. yeah, so I guess it's going to be kind of multi-part answer. But yeah, we could just start with Neo Tokyo. I think that's the most fascinating thing. So Alex Becker, who's obviously an e-com guy background, but he's obviously a very, very smart marketer. So he and his partner, Elio Trades, did basically a project called Neo Tokyo. And the whole idea behind the project was community. So right from the very beginning, they basically said, hey, there's a lot of people just buying JPEGs just to buy them. There's a lot of people trying to do all kinds of different projects. But at the core, it was just to make money. That's what most of these projects were. So they were like, hey, we're going to change the game. And they basically said, we're going to do a full 100% community ran and community basically free project called Neo Tokyo. So basically, it started as like, you know, just a tweet. And then people were like, okay, you know, Becker is going to get into it. He's going to launch something. But then what ended up happening was they ended up creating kind of, we called it the witch hunt of actually how to obtain this free NFT. So in the beginning, it was little things like, hey, we're going to give you some clues and you're going to have to find a secret website to then paste your Ethereum address into. So that was like step one, right? Then it was like, okay, once you got that, then you're going to have to go and look and come on this exact website at this exact time for 30 minutes and play this racing game. And based on how you do in that racing game, that's going to basically give you certain qualities for your wallet, like a whitelist for the wallet, right? And it just went on and on. They did a bunch of these different things. And throughout, there were just clues everywhere, all over the internet. They were basically just sprinkling all these little clues. So it was super, super time consuming. And there were probably, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people all trying to find a way to get this free NFT, even though nobody knew nothing about the project. The only thing we knew is they're going to be launching something in the future. And the only way you're going to get access to that something is if you somehow get this NFT. So long story short, after many of weeks of this crazy witch hunt, they ended up basically finally having a website that was a hidden website. My partner actually found it. It was actually through ClickFunnels, which is kind of crazy. So he basically found an old domain that was housing a ClickFunnels account. And then that account set up another account. And then that's how we found the URL or something like that. So, but again, really kind of really, really nerdy nuts things. It ended up, we found the whitelist. We got on the whitelist. And then the day of the mint, we ended up getting on. There was not a lot of instructions. And basically it was a race to try to find the NFT on the contract. So there were only 2,000 ever made. And there was probably 100,000 people that all came on the website at the same time. And then you basically had to punch in the number of the ID. So if there's only 0 to 2,000, I was punching in like 1127. Is that it? No, 1125. Is that it? 1129. And basically I got one and then got to mint it. So now you had a free NFT. The next day, NFT opened at like 5 Ethereum on the OpenSea platform. So we're like, awesome. Holy smokes, like that's pretty crazy, right? So something got minted the next morning, the value of it, because they created this incredible demand for something that was obviously worthless to the general public. But if you look deep further into what the game plan was, their roadmap is they're going to be creating a game studio. That's what a lot of speculation is. So imagine in 1995, being able to mint a token for the first PlayStation, right? Mm. Or whatever it is, right? You get the example, right? EA Sports, like imagine you were on the front lines of EA Sports, if it was a cryptocurrency or, you know, token or whatever, NFT. So then basically it just got crazier after that. So they had that first mint. Then there was another 2-3 weeks later, they said, hey, we're going to give you some characteristics for this NFT. Again, rat race, trying to find the thing. If you found it, you could mint it. And now you had another NFT that was basically the power, let's say, for the character. And then that NFT was worth 3 Ethereum, while the first one went to 15. And then it was just this ongoing thing. So in the end, you ended up getting 4 or 5 free NFTs. And they earn a passive income, true passive income, because they earn a token called Bytes. And the project is off and running. This month, they're going to do a big tournament for all the people that are part of the community. And actually people that aren't even part of it, because they're trying to bring everybody in. They partnership with Twitch. They got $1 million for grand prize. And essentially what we're going to be doing is playing Squid Games. And the last survivor gets the money, I guess. So that's kind of the long version of kind of, or I guess the short version, but I guess for the sake of this conversation, long version of what really happened. But so I think what they've done is extremely unique. Since then, everybody's been trying to kind of replicate a similar thing with, I don't think, much success, because they were the first, they were the trailblazers. And I think down the road, they're going to launch games, multiple games. In their Discord group, you basically have access to some of the biggest brains in the NFT space. So you really are getting access to potentially the futures of gaming in a Discord group. The ticket to get into that Discord group is, let's say, now $250,000 or whatever the price is. That's really where I think the power of this is. So he's really building a community. The part that's amazing that most people probably don't even know about is him and Elliot only get one citizen. So they themselves are just exactly like we are. They get one vote with one character. They didn't like mint 2,000 and then kept another 100 for themselves, right? So they really kept it authentic. They kept it transparent and they've been doing an amazing job. And I'm super excited to be part of that project. And because for me, it's crazy because obviously the value of the NFT is huge, but I'm not selling it because why would I sell it? That's the dumbest thing I could do because I know the value that this community is going to bring. And hopefully our projects, when we're launching, we're going to be able to bring to the community as part of it and do it that way. So I think that's a pretty amazing thing.
That's awesome, man. So how do you like... Since then, right? Like you also, I mean, bought some other NFTs, right? Like how much have you spent on NFTs like so far, like this year? I mean, this year, not last year, let's say.
Yeah, well, since I started, I would say probably close to 100,000 purchasing, you know, buying and then obviously selling. So I would say the research part of this, especially now, like back in May, June last year, things were a lot easier, right? We're only 100 projects. And then every new project basically got a whitelist. There weren't that many people on the platforms. So you were able to basically mint stuff. If you got lucky, like Bored Apes, which I didn't get a Bored Ape, you know, I was watching that contract, right? It took a week for that contract to sell out, if I'm not mistaken. And we just watched it. We're like, there's just another project. And then now you go and look and each ape is worth $500,000, you know? So... let's move forward.
Look. No. I think the real question is like,
how does it make you feel?
Oh yeah. It's definitely it's quite depressing, I must admit. Just because they were all there, even CryptoPunks. Like I was basically sitting on my computer, I remember when CryptoPunk for 37,000. So when it first popped, and I was sitting there like ready to buy, I had the money in my account. I'm like, damn, it's a JPEG, 37,000. Even though I knew some of the smartest people in the space Logan Paul, Gary, you know, Paris Hilton, God, people with money. I was like, I definitely am not sitting on that type of cash. But if they're buying it and they're risking that much money, I probably should buy it. And I literally was like, ah, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to come back. I went to the gym. I came back. That same one was worth $55,000.
Wow.
So from $37,000 to $55,000, literally in the span of an hour.
Wow.
And then it passed me by. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to put six figures into a project.
So here's like, okay, so you're thinking like, okay, now I'm putting gym in my fucking house.
Wait, you're gonna laugh.
That's it, right? That's how you optimize your life, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, people have been asking me how we scale to multiple six figures or even seven figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook. And we have a very sophisticated solution for this that I want to share with you, but it's just like too valuable to give away for free. So if you guys want this solution, just book a call with one of my team members and we'll show you exactly what it is and how it works, and we'll see if that's a good fit for you and for your business. So just book a call with my team member, we'll share it with you so you can scale your business to multiple six figures or even seven figures per month without getting shut down on Facebook, without having inconsistency and with high profitability. So just book a call with my team and I'll see you there.
So most of the time now, yeah, going back to research is, yeah, I'm here working out while I'm looking and reading through, you know, through white papers and stuff. So, yeah. So, but the thing is, it happens everywhere, right? All the opportunities are there. The coolest part is there's many a projects, you know, since then hit a lot of big wins, lots of, you know, losses, but in the end, I'm definitely profitable. My partner's profitable. Everybody that's been involved working with us has been profitable, which is great. You know, so I think that's the best part. And it's so early. You know, somebody always asked me like, hey, where do you think we are in the big picture, right? And I'm old enough to have gone through the internet, you know, the boom of the internet. So I was actually already working as a young teenager in the internet in 1997, 98. So I saw that whole boom of the internet, and then I saw the crash in 2000. So I saw it happen back then, and I remember it because I was old enough that we're experiencing that same thing, but we're like doing it 100 times faster. And then it's 100 times bigger, right? And it's in such a short amount of time. So like, you know, the internet to develop took 10 years, right? Bitcoin took, let's say, 5 years. NFTs have taken 5 months. So like, it's basically just like a 10 on itself.
That's such a good point.
So it's really moving very quickly.
How do you like, do you have some kind of like criteria, like when you're looking at the projects? I mean, how do you like, even let's say, so hundreds of projects, how do you choose the ones that you like, you want to focus on? And the same way, kind of like, obviously, yeah, it's like what happened with NeoDoc is like one out of like million, right? It's like, right, it's outlier, but like still, I mean, there's some project that, you know, kind of like will go in value. So how do you identify those? And obviously you've done some mistakes already. So what would be your like framework?
Yeah, I would say, so step one is, before anything else, is you need to read the actual game plan. So that's my number one step. So before I buy anything, then, okay, you know what? Let me take a step back a little bit. So, cause let's break it down into three buckets. Okay. Cause this is kind of a very important thing. So all of my stuff is broken into three buckets. So bucket number one is flips. These are the projects that are popping off that I want to just make quick money in. I'm not going to hold these for long. So these are your day trades, right? Essentially. Then comparing it to stocks, then you kind of have like your mid-tier ones where it's like, okay, these projects are validated, they're growing, and you're trying to catch the ride, right? And make a nicer amount of cash. So these are plenty of those projects out there. Maybe they don't have a huge roadmap. Maybe they haven't really gotten big yet, but there's huge potential. And then you have your third bucket. And this is your long-term bucket. This is like, what projects do I see are going to be around for 5 to 10 years from now? So three different buckets, right? So bucket one, day trading is really easy. You go on Twitter, you see what's trending. You go to the OpenSea, and you really are just looking for projects that are starting to get buzz, and you're catching it before they explode, right? Like this week's a perfect example. So women projects this week in the NFT space are absolutely blowing up. So World of Women, Women and Weapons, we just bought one, actually, the one I sent you actually, right? So those are blowing up right now. So you're trying to catch that trend. How long is that trend gonna last? We don't know. But we bought about seven and we've already flipped four of them. We're holding three. And now we're just trying to basically catch that trend. So that's never going to change. That's your scalpers and day traders. Those mid-tier projects are projects that I like to find are based off of a game. So I've been really focusing on gaming. So I'm looking at teams, number one, obviously a great project, smart, you know, concept. So they have to have something that's either going to be viral, trending. Maybe they're trying to kind of not knock off any like successful projects, but maybe being inspired by successful projects, like the Nifty Degens I showed you.
Yeah.
A perfect example of that project where it's inspired by Super Smash Brothers. It's a really, really smart gaming team. They have a lot of history. They raised money, outside money. So they don't need the NFTs to do well to survive. They've been building. They have a working demo. They have a lot of roadmaps and games that are actually going to be launching. They're opening up a platform. So once you kind of start reading enough of these white papers and you realize, oh, wait, this isn't all just theories, right? These are actual projects that they're doing. They're launching games. You know, they're going in and talking to their community. And the project is slowly progressing. And it's once it kind of pops, then you're going to be on the ground floor. So you're really investing into early on into these teams. I personally love projects like that. Another one is ETH Aliens. Same idea, right? Really smart team, great Discord, great community, great project, good roadmap. They're a little more behind than Nifty Degens because they don't have a functioning game yet, but it's coming, right? And there's nothing that tells me that they're not going to execute because the previous five things on their roadmap, they've executed perfectly. Actually, they've over executed, right? They've launched new tokens. They've launched extra NFTs. You're able to do staking and breeding and all that other stuff. So I don't want to get too down the rabbit hole because I'm sure a lot of your audience probably isn't familiar with kind of all the nuance of it. But the point is teams that are building stuff and are actually executing. So no talking, you know, like there's way too many projects where they have these glorified roadmaps and you read it and you're like, okay, where are they out in this roadmap? I get it that you want to build the next gaming studio and launch Counter-Strike, but realistically, where are we at? And they're basically just launched some JPEGs and the team is doxed. So another part is the team. So a doxed team basically means that it's public. Like, you know who the people are that are actually behind the project.
So you only would buy NFTs from teams that are public?
Not only, but I would say for the longer term, where I would be feeling a lot more, obviously little less risk, I would say, with a public team, because you could look at their backgrounds, right? You could go on LinkedIn and see what this guy's done and you realize, oh, wow, this guy used to launch games for Sony, right? Like, so it's one of those things where you're really just auditing projects and then you're really kind of getting behind the project, not for the short term, but kind of for the longer term as an investment versus a flip. So those would probably be the criterias. If they have a functioning game, then it's easy because you go in, you log in, you play it. Is it working? Yes. And is it making money? Yes. You know, like Sandbox, for example, you know, those types of projects where obviously they're big projects, Decentraland, all of those projects where you realize, okay, this isn't a kind of pump and dump, or they're not going to rug, you know, this many people, right? Or steal money from this many people. So there's more confidence in those projects. Obviously, the growth is going to be slower, right? Because they've already have massive market caps. So so excluding those ones, like those massive market caps, like how could you find the next Decentraland, for example, right? Before it becomes a huge project. So that would be a good thing. So what I would do is I would go in and I would search, you know, Decentraland competitors. And then I would get a list of projects and I would do the exact same process. I would go one by one, very time consuming if you want to be good, but you might find that one thing in one project where you go, wait, this is the former VP of gaming for Atari. And he's basically publicly said that this is going to be his life project, right? When you hear something like that on a small little NFT project that's worth $20 million, it makes you think, right? These guys have way too much to lose to try to just, again, scam someone. So I really try to look for those. And those are kind of those flags that I kind of keep track of, or also very, very smart young teams who haven't yet made a massive project. But again, they're doing it, they're executing, they're smart, they're honest, they're very transparent. And you want to get behind those people. So like investing in those young entrepreneurs, I guess.
Tell about your, like, I mean, that was so interesting story, like about your movie career.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So Martin, like you were a director, right?
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
That's right.
And so that's why he has all of these like fancy cameras behind him, like vintage, like very like.
The old collection of cameras. It's the only thing left. You know, it's the only thing left from the old film career. Now these are actually some old collectors.
They actually make like movies, like proper movies with this?
Well, I mean, they did back in the day, you know. I mean, those are cameras from like the 30s and 40s.
Wow. Yeah.
There's some good Russian cameras here. I got some, I'm sure I got a Ukrainian camera in here somewhere.
You have what, Zenit?
Oh, I'm sure, man. I got a whole box in there too. Yeah.
And like, so tell me the craziest story like from your movie career.
I would say the craziest thing, and I guess this is kind of the way I've always done things, is I kind of didn't go the traditional route. You know, I barely graduated high school, never went to college really. Like I took astronomy and random things and art in college. I just started working at a very young age. So for me, it was always like, it wasn't really like an option. It was just like, I needed to survive. So I needed to do whatever I needed to do to survive, right? So once I kind of grabbed onto something, I would become obsessed and I would want to grow it as fast as possible. So once I got into film, you know, which was a 10-year process, I wanted to do something that was just going to like shake up the industry. You know, I didn't want to go the traditional route. I didn't have those traditional connections. So I was like, one day, my partner flew in from the UK and I said, we're going to make a movie. And he's like, okay. Like we've said that before. I was like, no, like right now, like we're going to start like today. He's like, what do you mean? That doesn't work that way. I was like, get your phone. iPhone had just come out. So this is 2009. And I said, from now on, we're going to record everything and we're going to try to make a movie in the next 30 days. So just to give you some perspective, a typical Hollywood film takes about a year to a year and a half to make from start to finish, right? And obviously involves hundreds of people and a lot of money to get it started. So we had no people, no money, and all we had was a crazy idea. The reason I did it now looking back was because I said, what's the worst thing that'll happen? We're gonna learn a lot. We're probably gonna meet a lot of amazing people. And if it's a train wreck, then we're gonna have some good footage to share with people if it falls apart. So long story short, we ended up making a full feature Hollywood film. We ended up having almost 100 people involved. The movie probably would have cost $1 million if it was done, if everything was paid for, because everything was donated. And we did it in 30 days.
Wow.
Pretty incredible. Had a lot of Hollywood big wigs, you know of the project, give us shout outs and support us. And it was truly an amazing, amazing project. It's a bittersweet project for me personally, because once I did that project, which was incredible and it changed my life forever, was I kind of got into the whole Hollywood ecosystem. And then I was like, whoa, I don't know if I want to continue doing this.
So you told me that industry is pretty fucked up, right? Like in terms of.
It's a hard industry, you know, and it was amazing. And I would still do it, I think, like, but I didn't want to kind of do it from that level. Like, I really enjoy the creative part of it, shooting, editing, right? Like the actual art part of it was amazing. But I was very ambitious, again, trying to kind of get to the top. And then once you get to the top, it stops being about art. And it starts being about money, and it starts being about finances, and it starts being about who's in what movie. And then it becomes paper pushing versus like the creative stuff, most of it, you know? And again, don't get me wrong, because I have a lot of amazing friends that are in the film business. And again, if I could do it all over again, I would just focus on like the creative part, where you get hired to do an amazing job, you get to work on amazing films, and then do them that way.
You were actually producing movies, right? Producing.
Yeah.
So
I wrote, produced, and directed.
Wow, that's where kind of like you're pulling all of the resources together to put the movie right. You find director. You were directing movies, or like hold on, you were directing and also producing.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was an amazing time. You know, I was in my like mid 20s to like my mid 30s. I mean, it was truly incredible experience, and I still have amazing friends. And it's a fun industry, but you have to break through, you have to do something crazy like that. So that was the big thing for me. Like once we did it and then people believed that it was going to happen, you know, we had 8 people living in our apartment, strangers from Craigslist, like, hey, you're moving in. We're going to make a film. We were writing all over the walls and stuff. Like it was just a crazy, crazy, energy. But it really proved one thing to me, that one, anything's possible, right? That you could really pull off anything. And number two is that you could actually do it in an extremely short amount of time. So now, like, going forward, you know, 7-8 years and being in this NFT space, it's pretty incredible to see the connection of these projects that are now launching from the ground, and within 3 weeks have valuations of $50 million because they have the pieces, right? The reason the project worked when I did it back in the day with my partners was because we had 10 years of film experience. Yeah. So now I'm seeing it in the NFT space where I'm like, you know, checking who's involved in the project, and I'm realizing, wow, this guy's actually legit. Like, he's a top 3D designer for a gaming company. This guy's a top investor for gaming, you know, consoles or whatever it might be. And now they've put this little group together, and now they're launching this really cool project. So I think there's definitely a lot of that happening now at, again, hyper speed, you know, so that's really exciting.
Man, like, what we will do is another call, and that will be like actually like breaking down and like analyzing different projects and show exact, you know, I think that would be awesome, like, for people just to show kind of like how you do that, kind of how you analyze, where you find all that information, how you put things together. Mm-hmm. I think that will help like so many people kind of to understand this. This, from my understanding, you know, that's what I'm thinking, like what you told about the creator, like, I mean, you want to create stuff, right? I think this platform, like, I mean, NFTs, like, you know, the blockchain, like, allows people to get paid actually for, you know, for their work, right? And eliminates that like leverage that you said, like, in Hollywood is so like corporate. It's like, do you know this guy to get into this movie, right? Now, I mean, you have your social media, you can promote whatever, right? And then, like, I mean, to actually get paid, this is a perfect vehicle. And once you create something, you actually get royalties and you get paid for it till the end of time. So I think that's such a massive shift. I've heard, like, I think Gary Vee was saying about this, like, let's say getting into like movie business or like music business. So the label signs you up. All right. So our 80%, here's your 20%. You do exactly what we say, right? Now the artist who can promote themselves is can say, like, fuck off, you know, movie studio or like, you know, music studio or, you know, whatever, Columbia, like Warner, like whatever. I mean, I don't know, like. But if they can promote themselves, they can actually get paid for that. And that just like, boom, they can get that seed capital to kind of like to hire a team to promote themselves farther and just to build brands.
No, for sure, man. I mean, I think the biggest thing that the NFTs have allowed is it's giving the artist power, like just exclusive power. Like, there's nobody now that can control you. Like, if you're an artist and you create art, you could literally take that art, you could put it onto a platform and bake in a 5% royalty, and you might never, ever for the rest of your life have to work again besides doing art. There's no in between. There's no middleman. There's nobody telling you, like you said, there is no Columbia. You know, the future musicians are all going to be independent, 100% backed by their communities. Like, that's a pretty wild concept, you know, and that's going to happen in business. That's going to happen in all the industries. That's going to happen. The future Amazon, I believe, that's coming, that's going to be on the blockchain. You're going to be incentivized. You're going to own a piece of it. You're going to actually be a piece owner, like Neo Tokyo. There's going to be the Amazon, and then you're going to basically be on the launch of that project. And for the rest of your life in perpetuity, you'll be able to earn because you believed in the project, because, you know, it's really changing the financial system, and it's giving people the power. And I really love that. Like, I love seeing artists. Like, there's a new project that just launched. It's a kid that took a photo of his face from the time he was 19 to 21, I think. And he's been posting it as an NFT. And yesterday, or the day before yesterday, somebody caught it, posted it, and now the kid's made $1 million in 24 hours. I think in like Pakistan or some, you know, some third world country. And it's incredible, like, that people are able to do this stuff and people are getting behind these artists, right? Like, it's truly amazing.
Make sure you follow me on Instagram. It's Alex Feratov, 3F at the end, because I share behind the scenes strategies and things we do in our 8-figure business and also in my personal life. So make sure you follow me and I'll see you there.
Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to. I want to have more of these calls with you, kind of like to show people what is, you know, about this industry, so people can learn about it, find a way to integrate. I mean, like now, like we're talking e-commerce. I'm e-commerce, like type of, like, you know, that's, I've been blessed with that, you know. But shit, I mean, I think there will be place for like NFTs and e-commerce, like interconnection of that somehow, right?
For sure. I mean, they're working on it right now. I mean, somebody's trying to figure that out right now as we speak, because physical products, which have been around for ages, and now you have digital products, and now the merge of those two, it's just a matter of somebody figuring out a clever way of doing it, where adding, like selling a training to a physical product, right? Let's use as an example, like fitness product. You have a fitness product that is physical that you buy, but additional to that, you now get all of your digital training, but that's an NFT, and it's a ticket to then now attend any free classes at any gym that has this product in it or something. Like there's so many methods and possibilities that we haven't even thought of, but the merger is going to definitely happen between physical products and digital products. And at first it's going to be big IPs, right? Like Mickey Mouse, Disneyland, and big wineries are going to be doing these things. But as it evolves more, it's going to be young people who are going to come up with a clever idea to tie the physical to the digital.
Man, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. Next time we just hands on, go through the projects. Show people how it's done, and very excited, man. Like I think you have a lot of stuff to share. You got me excited, so let's get more people excited about this new technology. Awesome.
Let me throw one more quick thing out there, Alex. So anybody that is actually in the NFT space, I always say this, it's a disclaimer, is please be careful. Do not click on links in your Discord ever, even if you think it's from a project or a friend that you know, because there's scammers out there stealing everybody's stuff. Never ever click on links, random links, even if it seems like it's honest. Go to
Oh really? So people like how it's called phishing?
Yeah, it's getting really, really bad. There's people losing millions of dollars. And there's only two places where you could get this stuff. It's official Twitter, and make sure it's the official one, where people will post links, and then also the official Discord group. And it won't be a message, it's going to be like a post that only the founders of that Discord group can actually post. So this is extremely important. I'm hearing horror stories, like all of our people in our coaching program that are getting scammed. And now they're realizing, oh man, I should have really been paying attention to this stuff, because you just don't know. And social scams are getting really, really big in the space. So just wanted to throw that out there, just for anybody out there watching this.
For sure. Matt, and also like your community, we'll drop the link below so people can join. I mean, you have this like free course like to educate people and stuff.
Yeah, so we created, my partner and I created a course from A to Z, Get You Started. We have kind of like an introductory free course, and then we obviously have all the bigger, more advanced stuff down the road. But you can just hit the link. It's Mint for NFT is cool. the website. And you guys are free to try it. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you guys have any ideas and stuff, we're always game.
Awesome, man. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, man, for the opportunity. It's been great. It's been fun.
And we reconnect soon. Thank you guys for watching. Connect. You can watch some materials from Martin below. He's an awesome guy. I'm from Ukraine. He's from Poland. That's how we connected.
East Black connection.
Awesome guy. Also, like, you have like YouTube or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say the main one is just Instagram to communicate. That's probably the easiest one.
Okay.
I also have a YouTube, but I don't really post on there regularly.
You gotta post.
I'm researching, man. I'm researching projects.
Cool. All right. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Martin, for joining me. And we'll see you. If you have any questions, drop them below. I think Martin will answer them for you. How he made 400 Gs. Man, I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So thank you so much, man.
Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from 6 figures to 7 figures and even to 8 figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call, and we'll see how we can help you out.